Welcome to another episode of Leadership Unveiled. Thanks for being here. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm your host, Kayla, aka KFA, and I'm here to help you stay organized while you live a full life and try to do it all like me. So let's get into today's episode of Leadership Unveiled. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Leadership Unveiled podcast. My name is Kayla. I'm your host. And wow, it feels really, really good to be back with you. I don't know how many months it's been since I recorded a formal podcast episode, but I've taken a break to kind of like figure out how I want to up-level this and make it super high quality and produced for you because number one, you deserve it. You deserve good sound. You deserve good video and good content. And so, yeah, I've just been like figuring out how I want to do this moving forward. I have this YouTube channel. You can find it at Kayla Fahey Arndt. If you're listening on any of the podcast apps, if you're on YouTube watching this, hello. Thanks for already subscribing. But yeah, I have my YouTube channel and I've really just started figuring out, okay, what is my rhythm of creating videos where the pace is sustainable. And now I'm like, okay, so how do I add the podcast back into it? Because I want to acknowledge that they are different pieces of work. And some of you love to listen to this podcast as you're driving, you're in the shower, maybe you're commuting to work, maybe you're just doing some laundry or kind of doing your morning routine, whatever. Hello, if you're getting ready, hi. I hope you look fabulous, by the way. And some of you just prefer to listen and you have YouTube open and maybe you have it like open as you're going around the house or you're just watching. So yeah, I just say welcome back and they'll be on, you know, like I said, YouTube and on the podcast apps everywhere where you listen. So that's cool. The next thing is if you are on YouTube or if you're not, maybe hop over there and take a peek, but I have my setup all cute. So I have this setup for my videos now, but I really intended it to be for also for podcasting. So I've got the aqua balloon dog. I have curated everything on the shelf. There is the astronaut pencil holder. And actually I took the pencils out recently because I was using them for like a photo shoot. I need to put them back there. They have some really cute sayings on them. Everything is figure outable. Marie Forleo, basically quote, name of her book. And then I've got colorful post-its, the cute candle, the cute mini lectern notebook. The vibes are Kayla vibes. Like, I'm happy with this. Also, if you're on YouTube, you can see I have a brand new mic. No more boring black mic. The Yeti was so heavy and I couldn't get it to adjust on its stand. So I've got this nice, amazing white one and it changes colors. So enjoy. So I'm trying to make this visually pleasing for you so you can enjoy the episode. I realize this intro is super long, but I just feel like I had to reintroduce all the things. The cool part about the Leadership Unveiled podcast is I'm still going to be talking about leadership, career, organization, planning. However, I'm expanding it a bit. Most of you know I have kids and I have a career and I've been doing it for over 11 years, a career in healthcare. I'm a leader. That's hard work. I am super lucky. I have a really supportive partner. So I want to share my systems for how I keep my home, my life, my outside of work organized as well so that you can, when you look at me or when you watch my videos or listen, if you're asking yourself the question, like, how does she do it all? Which I get that question all the time. I want to show you like, not by myself, not by myself. I have systems and maybe some of these can help you too. So that is what we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to share some tips for how you can get your home and your work life organized for the holidays and for the end of the year, because we're like wrapping up the year. And these strategies are going to help you do it with lower stress levels. I feel like the holidays are a time where things can really speed up and I want to help you intentionally slow them down so you can enjoy that. But before we get into the episode, I did want to share sort of the new format of this podcast. So like I said, YouTube, so you can watch, and then I'll have the video podcast available wherever you listen to podcasts that does show video. So like Spotify shows the video. But if you just listen, that's fine. It'll be on your podcast app. These are going to be weekly, I believe, and I'm polling my Instagram community right now for what day of the week that these are going to post. I'm sort of thinking Friday or Monday. Those are the two winning days. So Maybe I'll have to post like a static post so you can go find it. I will link it in the show notes and description, or you can comment on this video and let me know like what day of the week works best for you. So that's kind of like the schedule of things. And these conversations are going to be less edited. So like my YouTube videos are very edited. There's a lot of jump cuts. They're quick and snappy. These are going to be less edited, although I'll probably put some B-roll in here, some other shots. I might screenshot a few things. I might cut out like the M's and the awkward pauses. But for the most part, they're supposed to be more me, like genuine, like get to know me, let's hang out, but also deliver super valuable content. So that's kind of the vibe we're going for. We're still going to do, you know, Kayla fun and bright and excited, but we're also like, hey, what's up? I'm going to have coffee and I hope you will join me and grab a mug of whatever beverage, maybe stay hydrated. I've got my Unstoppable mug and I also have my huge thing of water. So like I said, I have two kids, one on the way, so I have to stay super hydrated and I can't have too much caffeine. Boo. But that's life. And then in terms of the structure of the episode, so we're going to have kind of like three different components. We're going to have the topic of the day. So like today we're going to be talking about the ways to organize yourself for the holidays and the end of the year so you can actually enjoy it. But then we're going to have two more segments. One segment is going to be sort of, I'm going to call it like latest in leadership or leadership lately. I'm still kind of like figuring that out. I think leadership lately has a better ring. But I've always wanted to review these like Harvard Business Review articles I get in my email, or I'll be on LinkedIn and I'll save certain graphics I like. And I just want to talk about like maybe the latest trends in career, leadership, job growth, all of that. Because, I've just always wanted to react to that stuff. And I either have had to like turn it into a full episode before, but some stuff is just quick. It's like you just want to comment and be like, that's silly. Or like, yes, this is a legitimately good tip. So that's what we're going to have. So leadership lately. And then the third segment we've had before, but it's just a listener Q&A. So submit your career, leadership, motherhood, organization, productivity, planning, all the things we cover. Submit your questions to me weekly. You can submit them at kayla@kfaconsulting.org. That's my email. Or you can DM me at KFA Consulting on Instagram. Send me your question for a chance for me to showcase it on the podcast. And you can either just like tell me it's anonymous and you don't want your name dropped, or you can share your name and handle and I will give you a shout out and be like, go follow this person. They're amazing. Either way. So those are the three segments. So like the main topic, the leadership lately segment, and the Q&A segment. So let's get into it and take a sip of your coffee. Let's get going. Okay, so the topic, how to get your work and your non-work life organized for the holidays and at the end of the year so you can actually enjoy it. Okay, so I've talked about this before where I've even shared episodes on like there's 15 Fridays left in the year, like how do you make the most of it? And while I think that's really good for goal setting and productivity and all of that, I also want to recognize that as we approach the end of the year, I mean, I'm recording this early December, and by the time it comes out, it'll be a few days into December. There's not that many days left in the year. My daughter's like, oh, mommy, there's only like, you know, X weeks till Christmas. I'm like, I know, honey, I know. Like, I'm fully aware of how it's all drawing to like the end, quote unquote. And there's just not enough time to do like all of the things. So there's just so much pressure with work, like finalizing goals and meeting deadlines and all of that. And with home, it's like you want to make the holidays special and enjoy them, and at the same time, like provide in a way that your family enjoys, but that you're also going to enjoy. So I've been doing a few things for the last, I would say, month, probably starting in November, to help myself get organized and be like, what's truly, truly important? And how do I stay on top of those important things and then discern and say no to the rest of the stuff? Okay, but I have to share this meme that I saw on Instagram, or maybe it was like a voiced over thing. And it was like parents in the 90s. And it was like, bring your kid, like bring some candy for your kid at school to share. And if you feel like dressing them in green or red, like do that. Right? So like pretty simple and optional. And then it was like, parents today, it was like, dress up your kid for Grinch Day, Cindy Lou Who Day, don't forget Snowflake Day, make sure you bring all the ingredients for gingerbread houses. Also, please volunteer 8 days of your time in the middle of the holiday, take off work to be present, do the winter carnival at school, and like all of this stuff. And it's kind of true, but I want to say like shout out to my daughter's teacher, because she always sends like emails or requests and like updates for what they're doing in school, and says like, you can also just delete or archive this email. Like essentially everything that I send home is optional, and I appreciate you just like getting your kid to school. So I want to say like thank you to her. But I feel like, yeah, it's like we have to celebrate all the holidays, we have to like do all of the things, and it's like, no, like we really don't. So I want to just like share some of the things that's been working for me to help me slow down and get organized and be okay with where I'm at for the end of the year. And I just want to say too, I think the reason why this resonates with us is because, especially if you're in the winter season right now, like in the Northern Hemisphere, we're in winter or heading into winter, and winter tends to pull us to want to slow down. Like there's a tug, right? Like you feel like, I just do need to be doing less right now. Because it's summertime is usually like when it's like, go, enjoy, be outside as much as possible. So I think in the holidays and the end of the year, when we are feeling like we want to slow down in our body and minds, but externally there's pressure to speed up, that's why we feel this like tension and dissonance, and we're like, what? Like, no. So I think instead of pushing through and saying like, yes, I'm gonna do like a plan miss video, right, like every single day of the month, instead I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do that this year, like, and that's fine. Like, I'll let everyone else do that, and I'm gonna do something different, and I'm gonna feel good about that. So that's also why I wanted to share it. It's like, why do we feel this dissonance? And it's because the season saying like it's time for hibernation, and external pressures is like, let's do all the things. So I'm going to share 4 tips with you all. And I have my laptop here. If you can see me pointing on YouTube, hi. My laptop is just here. So if I look over, my notes are here. That's just my new way of scripting the video, making sure I stay on topic. But if you can't see me, like, you will not see me looking away, but I am. So I want to get these steps correct. So there's 4 steps. Number one, we're going to talk about decluttering your to-do list, which is a lot of for work and for home, which helps you then declutter your mind. So it's 1 step, essentially. 2 is decluttering, physically decluttering your home. And I'm not talking about like the work of decluttering, which can span like months to years. I'm just talking about a quick pass-through. So we're going to talk about that. 3 is looking at a physical calendar, like a real one, whether it's online, like a digital Google calendar, or in your planner or notebook, and just planning the next 3 weeks until the end of the year. And I'm going to tell you some strategies for doing that. And then 4, super simple. Maybe it's simple, maybe it's not, but the concept is follow the plan and say no to everything else. So, yeah, like that's what we're going to talk about, decluttering your to-do list and mind, decluttering your home, looking at a physical calendar to plan the next 3 weeks, and follow the plan and say no to everything else. So let's get into it. Okay, so decluttering your to-do list. Let's talk about work and home. We can talk about them at the same time. So likely you have a to-do list, whether it's a physical, like written down one, whether it's online, you've got it typed, or you've handwritten it. Or maybe it's just like a mental to-do list and you don't have anything written down and it's all in your brain. I want you to think about that list. And if I'm being honest, I really think you need to get it from your brain onto paper or into like a digital platform, whether that's like Asana, Evernote, open a Word doc, type it in, like super basic, or handwrite it down. So if you don't have a like some sort of typed physical or handwritten list, like do that first. So if it's for your home, all the things around your home and the kids and life that you want to do, things at work that have been on your to-do list for a while now. So take a look at that. Then what I want you to do is look at the things that pop out at you. And likely the things that pop out at you are the things that have been on your list for a long time or the things that you really want to do that you haven't prioritized. So I want you to just take like a highlighter and highlight those or just look at them, honestly. This doesn't have to be a ton of work. And start to ask yourself, okay, can I accomplish this task by the end of the year? And you might not know how you're going to accomplish it right now, but that's okay. Just kind of like, do I think this is possible? But I also want you to think about the question is, if I did get this done by the end of the year or by whatever date in December, would it help me alleviate my mindset or help elevate my mindset, alleviate any worry I have or anxiety, whether it's at the home or at work? Would it move forward things for my family, move forward things for my work in a way that would set me up for success on January 1st? Like I'm talking, bam, it's the new year and you're like, hot damn. Okay, so I'm hoping that there are maybe a couple of things like that, but not all of them that popped out at you are like that, right? So I think what I wanted you to do is set those aside and say, okay, I'm going to, over the next week, take time and decide when I'm going to do those things and say, like, let's just get those done and off my plate, okay? And it might not be you doing them. Like, if it's for your home, I want you to talk to your kids or talk to your husband or your spouse or partner or whatever and say, like, these are the things that are on my mind that I think would really help us this month. Can we work together and get this stuff done? And I know people think that your partner is supposed to like read your mind and stuff, or you just wish they did and you think like certain things are obvious and you shouldn't have to ask them. Sorry, but like you have to sort of train people to think like you, and that takes a while. So what works really well for my hubby is just to make him a list. So I actually asked him about this. I was like, hey, like when we have conversations, sometimes things don't get done after we've talked about it, but I notice you're really, really good with a list. Like, would it be okay with you, or is it going to be offensive to you if I made you sort of like a honey-do list? And he was like, no, I love a list because it's all written down and I can check it off. You guys, I tried this out. I made him a list the other day, three basic things. And there are things that I felt like I wanted him to do for us. It wasn't like him helping me, but I was like, this would really help us. And one of them was move the high chair that our son hasn't used forever down to the basement. It's several stories down because we have a multi-level home and I'm pregnant. So I'm like, that would be great. I would like not to fall or carry a cumbersome, oddly shaped item downstairs. And he did that. Something else was, oh, we had mice. Y'all, we had mice for a few weeks and we were setting out traps. We caught all of them, thank goodness. But there was like still mice poop in one of the drawers. And he had told me a couple days ago, like, I don't want you cleaning that out being pregnant. Like, let me do that. Well, it hadn't been done. And I was like wanting to use that drawer. So I wrote him a list, like clean out the drawer. And he did that. And then the other thing I think was clean out the Lazy Susan and put all of the items that had been, you know, climbed on by mice supposedly into the dishwasher and wash those. And he did that. And it was great. And I was like, cool. He's more than willing to do things for our home. And he often does it without me requesting, but it kind of accelerated it, right? I was like, these things need to get done. And I said, can you just do them when you have a moment? He doesn't like having pending items. Like my husband is like type A type of man. He's like, if it's on my list for too long, like get it off, get off the list. So I found that works really well. So that's just a tip to get some help from the people that you love then and model the behavior you want to see. So then all the other things on the list, let's say for your home or your work that don't fall on the standing out to you, and would be imperative to get done before the end of the year, I want you to take those items and just set them aside and call those your no energy list. Those are your no energy right now items. And so I want you, when you're fresh, maybe after the holidays or if you had like the week of holidays are done and it's been a couple days, open that back up and be like, all right, do these things still need to get done? Would they still drive things forward for my team, for my family? If so, okay, let's prioritize them where it makes sense this year instead of them just staring at me on the list. or let's let them go and put them in a parking lot or delete or archive them, cross them off, and know that if they need to happen, they will come back to us. This is scary, but the shift is going to be from I have this large to-do list to now I have a list of items that I've decided are important and would really help me this season. I would take massive joy in getting those things done because they are going to add extreme value to my life. So like, yeah, let's get those done. The other things I'm just letting go and I'm not going to spend energy thinking about them, wishing I was getting them done, hoping I was getting them done. They'll get done later. So I wanted to give you a couple other examples for work right now. Something that's been on my list forever is this SBAR around how can we get cheaper parking for some of my employees. And while it would really, really help my team, I know that this is a larger discussion. It will take longer to get approval for this, as well as there are not going to be high-level leaders who can make these decisions in the next 3 weeks of the year. I just know it. I know I'm out of the office the last week. My kid is off of school. This is just not the right time. I'm still going to keep it on the list, but it's going to be no energy right now. It's going to be a next year strategy. One thing that I do want to prioritize for work is working with IT on some billing things. I think these are quick fixes that have been sitting on my list for a few weeks now that I'm like, cool, I have the energy to do that right now. And I'm going to try to get these submitted so that in the next year, billing is correct or more accurate. So I'm going to schedule time ASAP at work to get these things done. For home, I've been working on getting the nursery closet like flipped over for a newborn. Right now, my son, who's 2, uses it, and he kind of uses it sparingly. I only hang up a few things. I use his dresser for the rest of the stuff. So I've been like slowly working on it for the last few months, but it's just kind of been on my brain like, oh, you still have to finish that. And I'm like, you know what? In the next 3 weeks, like, that's just going to sit behind a closed door in his bedroom. That's not going to add extra value to help me this holiday season. Like, that's for later. Like, I'm not, if I get to it a little bit here and there, cool. But it's no energy right now. It's going to be for after the holidays. Something I did prioritize this week, actually, I think yesterday, is my closet. So I've told folks who listen to my other YouTube videos, like, as I'm getting more pregnant, I guess, I don't know if that's a term, bigger. I'm not any more pregnant than I was, just bigger, further along. Less and less of my clothes fit. And so it's really nice when you go in your closet and everything fits and you love everything in there. And that's something I've been working on really hard this year to eliminate decision fatigue. So essentially I was like, okay, cool. I already did like a couple first passes through early in pregnancy to be like, what will fit me for the next few weeks or months? And I'm hitting that stage where like I noticed over the last like week and a half, there were items that I was dodging because I was like, yeah, I know that doesn't fit anymore. And so that just wastes time. So yesterday I went through and I was like, you know what? This is going to help me in the morning. It's going to help me when I'm changing from work clothes into mom clothes. It's going to help me just like feel confident about myself, right? Like as you're getting bigger, it's hard to feel confident when you don't feel like, you know, you look, you know, as hot or whatever as you thought you did before. And let me just say, I always feel beautiful when I'm pregnant, so that's fine. My hubby also thinks it's very attractive. So I'm not saying like pregnant women aren't or you know, pregnant people aren't beautiful. They are. But you know what I mean. You just start to look different. And some days you're just like, blah. And you just don't want to feel like that every day when you go to pick out a piece of clothing. So I'm like, yeah, those shirts are going into storage, and I'll actually link it in the show notes, but I did a whole video on like organization hacks for the home, and one of them was a laundry, just like a clothing rack. So I took all the clothes that are out of season and also things that don't fit me for pregnancy and put them in my basement on this clothing rack. So it's like I can like have a whole brand new wardrobe and rotate things out seasonally with essentially like a closet upstairs that I wear clothes out of daily, and then my downstairs, which is like out of season or things that don't fit right now. So that's really cool. So the other thing that helped me do that easily was be like, oh, there is a real life spot in my home for these items that I can just like move them to instead of avoiding it because I'm like, what am I going to do with this stuff? So that really helped. So I was excited about that. So that is the first thing. Declutter your to-do list and declutters your mind because you're like, okay, these should get done. I'm going to try. I'm going to attempt. No shade if I don't get them done, but if I do, like, bonus. And then the other things can wait and I'm not thinking about them anymore. So I'm clearing my mind. Sort of like a bonus or like a 1A, if I were to give you like different steps. 1A would be also thinking about like what daily or weekly routines are you doing around getting these some of these to-do lists done, or things that could help you with your to-do list. So like I always love to think of like, how can I automate as much as possible? Because there's only one of me and I can't be everywhere at once, right? Like my kid's like, I want French toast sticks from Walmart, but I also want like my favorite blueberry applesauce from Target. And I'm like, those are on like the opposite ends of my city. Like, you know, how can I do that? Because I do want French toast in the morning because that's going to make my life easy, right? So I always think of things like automating by ordering my groceries or doing grocery pickup, super simple, right? Or like I upgraded my vacuum. And y'all, I did a YouTube video on how I organize and have like easier products to keep my home clean. And I went home for Thanksgiving and my sister showed me her Tinco vacuum, I think it's called. I'll forget. I'll link it. And it's a wet dry vac. So essentially what it does is it sweeps and mops and it can clean up dry and wet messes. Oh my gosh. I had struggled so much with keeping my floors clean and like feeling so defeated that they would be like totally messy within a day. And it's not like I'm a neat freak, because I'm really not. Like, I like things to be clean and fresh, but I'm not like someone who needs it like super tidy all the time. Like, I can deal with a lived-in home. But I was just feeling so defeated. After she showed me hers at Thanksgiving, I just straight up went and bought that vacuum. And let me tell you, I have automated that process, because now instead of doing two things, which means sweeping and mopping, I now just use the one item, and I have cut cleaning my floors in half, and now I want to do it, and I'm constantly using that thing every time like a mess comes, because it's like so fun and easy to use, and I'm like, look at me, I'm gonna mop my floors. So like that's one example. Obviously I had to invest in it. It was a couple $100, but I was like, hashtag worth it. Like, I don't care. I'm at the point where like I'm getting that. And then the other thing I've done, which is new, I haven't done a video on this, but I think I might, is creating a snacks bin that just straight up lives in my car. Because when I pick my kids up from daycare, they literally, well, my son, he's two, he's still working on his language. He's doing very well, but he'll just say snack, mama, snack, 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 milk, milk, mama, milk, until we get to my daughter's school. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to pull my hair out. Like, I'm sweating because you are like interrogating me for snacks. I don't always have snacks. So now I just have like a bin in my car that lives in my front seat that's always packed with like Goldfish, applesauce, fruit snacks, don't judge, Pirate's Booty, Scooby snacks, like all of the things that can just like live in the car. And that's like changed my life. Like, car rides are so much better. And I'm not as stressed. So how can you automate your world or like set up systems so like those to-do lists are a little bit more easy? Tip number two is decluttering your home for the holidays. And I'm not talking about, like I said, the massive declutter. Like, I'm not telling you to go in your junk drawer right now and like organize that. No. What I'm talking about is also known as making space for your holiday decorations and to bring in more stuff. Okay, so something I never knew. When you put out, let's say, Christmas or holiday decorations, if you just add them to your existing decor, it can feel super cluttered. And I never realized this, but I always found myself kind of like at some point hating the fact that we had extra stuff hanging up and just like having this intense urge to take everything down and essentially turn my home over and be like, it's spring now in the middle of January. Like, I can't handle it. And what I realized is that I didn't make room for my holiday decorations. I was just like adding decorations on top of decorations. So I follow these really awesome people on YouTube who are like decorators and even like experienced moms and stuff who are like, so instead of leaving that chair or that extra plant or that extra, that normal tray that is sitting on your entryway, remove those items. And actually, you can store those items that you're going to like put away, like your normal household stuff that you're going to replace with, let's say, holiday decorations. Just store those in the holiday bin. So while it's the holiday, your normal decorations go in that bin, and your holiday decorations that are stored in a bin or in that spot, wherever you store them, go out. I did this year. And okay, first I want to confess something. Number one confession is when I removed the household items, like let's just say my entryway table, I used to have like a bin that was intended for keys and things, and it would just get like batteries and loose earrings and junk and change and all that stuff in it. When I removed things like that, I almost was like, oh, I'm like not going to put holiday decorations up because I was enjoying the less aspect. Like, I'm not a minimalist, but I was like, ooh, like I'm loving not having to clean around these things or not having to declutter or to be like, this is for keys. Why are there pens in here? You know what I mean? So this might help you actually do the second tip, which is not just replace existing decor with holiday decor and remove current decor. It is maybe just like put less up or nothing at all. So hear me out. We put up our Christmas tree and it's gorgeous and my kids love it. It's all of our ornaments from traveling and the things that kids make. I figure in the future I'll do like my own chic tree someday, maybe. But this is just a fun tree and the kids love it. And then my daughter also last year had talked me into doing Elf on the Shelf, which I was like, didn't see the point of for a while, but now it's really cool. The Netflix videos on Elf on the Shelf are the bomb. So we do that, right? So we have Elf on the Shelf and we have the tree. I don't have any other holiday decor up yet. I have some still out from fall that I just haven't put away yet. And I've been seriously thinking, like, what if I just don't put anything else up? Like, I've got the tree, I got the elf on the shelf. You know, it's the first week in December. Like, I'm feeling really, really good about what we have up. But I did decide, okay, I'm going to do, like, a wreath and maybe, like, a couple other items. And I'm going to keep it basic. See what your space feels like as you remove, and then don't feel pressure to put it more out unless it brings you extreme joy, in which case do it slowly. And I heard this tip too from a decorator that a lot of people hate putting up Christmas decorations before Christmas because they're like, oh, that's so silly, it's gonna make you tired of the season. But actually they suggest starting in November because it allows you to, instead of spending hours one weekend or like hours in a day or whatever, trying to make the home perfect for family, you as the person who are going to be putting out those decorations can actually enjoy doing it. You can take your time, you can drink your cocoa, your coffee, your spiked drink, whatever, and be like, oh, I'm going to shush that tree a little bit more. I'm going to like adjust those branches and lights as much as I want, instead of like, okay, just like threw it up, it's all up, it's good, like, okay. Okay, my other sub tip in decluttering your home, aka making room for stuff for the holidays, is deciding what you're going to do with Christmas cards that get mailed to you, or holiday cards, winter cards that get mailed to you. I always get a lot. So I get from like my family who still sends them, friends, coworkers, all of that. And I'm a sentimental human, okay? Y'all, I like to save stuff. Like I said, like that is my natural inclination. And so I want to save, like my reaction is to keep these and to like display them and enjoy them all season. And I think that's fine. But what I found is I don't have like a card tree or any of that because I just feel like I don't want to have extra stuff in my house. I would like tape them up or put them on the fridge or display them in the entryway by our mirror. And I would be constantly fixing them and cleaning around them and all this stuff. So there's a few options. So my notes, I wrote, consider maybe displaying for like a little short amount of time, like 1 week. And then when you kind of like do your routine on, let's say, Fridays or something, you toss them or recycle them. It even like hurts me to say that. I'm like, oh, people spent money and time and energy on these. Or maybe you open, enjoy, and then recycle right away. That is fine too, I think. Or maybe you take a picture if it's super important. Sometimes I find myself like wanting to save the envelope to have the address. So I found if I just take a picture, then I feel better just recycling it. Or I do keep like a holiday bin where I keep wrapping paper and gift bags and stuff. And I put a few cards in there that I know I want to save forever, like super sentimental ones that maybe like a picture of my parents or something that I love. I can save those. But I've just kind of given up on the fact that I don't need to be displaying those all season long. It doesn't bring me joy. It stresses me out. So I get a lot of mail in this season. So just maybe decide up front, what are you gonna do when you get that first winter, card, holiday card? Are you gonna keep it or are you gonna consider recycling it? And then in general, if you have kids, I would say this is a great time to declutter their toys and stuff because even if you've asked family not to buy as much or you want to get them something special, just know that they don't play with all their toys. And so this is a good time to kind of notice what they play with most. Take the things that they're maybe not focusing on and put those in a little bin and maybe put them down in your basement or something and see if they actually ask for them. And if they don't, you might consider donating them if they're in good shape, or if they're kind of in not so great shape, just tossing those, put those into the trash, get rid of it. I used to feel bad about this, but I don't because guess what? I'm the one managing all this stuff. So if you think about their toys as inventory and specific stuff you have to manage, real quick, you're like, oh, I don't enjoy toys with little pieces that end up all over the house. If I find a little piece of something in the throughout the home, I'm like, "Ooh, that's an excuse for me to get rid of this toy." Because I know they're not missing it if I find pieces all over the home and we're normally playing in the living room. So, I just want to give you permission to do that. And just know they get new things, their interest changes. They're gonna wanna play with the new stuff. It's okay to kind of put away the old because otherwise you're just like adding to adding to adding and it just becomes too much. And there's so much science out there that says that our kids actually play better in a less cluttered space. And I've experienced that myself. I think when the play area is clean. There's a specific home for everything. Maybe one, like I have these IKEA, not IKEA, I think I got them at Target. They're just like the cube shelves, you know what I mean? And I used to put like bins in there with different toys. I still do that. But I used to say, like, okay, this is for farm toys and let's say like tea party or whatever. And now I'm just like, no, like only tea party stuff, like one shelf for one thing, or like one tractor fits in there. I used to think like, oh, I feel bad. Like my mom and grandma and so gifted a tractor, and I want to put them all out. But guess what? He doesn't play with all three of them. Just put one. So this is just like your permission to sort of like declutter before the holidays, like slowly. And you're gonna feel better when new stuff comes in because you're like, oh, okay, like this isn't too much. So that is my second tip for decluttering your home, aka making more room for stuff, is just like kids' toys, weed through them right now. Consider less holiday decor than normal if that suits your fancy, or at least put away your current decor before you put out new decor. And consider a plan for your holiday cards before they start coming into your home and you get all attached and nostalgic to them, like me. All right, we are at the point in the episode where we are going to cut to a listener question. And because I just started this back up, I didn't have anything like recently submitted. However, I've been keeping my ears open at work for questions that are common. And I just got this question, like, how do you compartmentalize being a parent and then your work? And the question I think really was around boundaries, like, how do I set boundaries, maintain them, decide what they are? And I just want to say, if you've ever listened to this podcast, if you've been an OG member and around since 2018, I'm pretty sure I've always said that we are whole humans and we bring our whole self to work. So I actually think being a parent makes you better professional. Not saying that people without kids are not better or not good. I'm just saying that you elevate yourself, I think, when you become a parent because you have so many other skills you never had, like empathy. And again, I'm not saying you don't have empathy if you don't have kids, but you have a greater appreciation for patience and struggles and juggling and all the things that you have to do when you're a parent. So I wouldn't try to compartmentalize myself, honestly. I like to be like, you know what? There's a mom hack for that, and like bring that to work. So I just want to say, like, don't be two separate people. However, it's a good thing to set boundaries by that help you do your job better, whether that's at home or at work. For example, I will often make sure that my phone is around so that I can get notifications from daycare if I need to pick up my kid if they're sick, but I might not have my phone right next to me. So I actually have this Apple Watch, right? Not sponsored by Apple. You can actually get like a $35 watch like this on Amazon that does the same thing, but have it connected to your phone so that you get text messages on your and emails on your phone. You might not be able to respond from all of those watches, but instead of me like checking constantly if my kid's okay, if I have my watch on, I know that I will get a notification if they're not, and I can just look, right? So like that is just one example of how I can put my phone over somewhere else so I'm not distracted by it, still get the messages I need so I can focus on work when I'm working and not worried about my kid. So think about things like that that can help you do what you need to do, but still like be available. Also, transitions are really important. So someone mentioned like, I'll be on like Teams messages and like huddles while I'm getting my kids ready for school and all that stuff. And I can relate, like when I take my kids in the morning, I only do 2 days in the morning drop off. I do 4 days a week pickup. My husband does 1 day a week pickup and 3 days in the morning. And it just works out well. So some days I can start early or like earlier than I normally would. And then other days I just start later. But for a while, I would try to like be on Teams and like all the huddles and stuff in those early mornings where I was in charge of getting the kids to school. And that stressed me out so bad because as a Enneagram 3 human, I want to achieve in all areas, right? I want to be winning all the time. So if I'm spread too thin, I don't feel like I'm doing anything good. So I saw this quote once. It was about like either when you're with your kids, you're either resting, productive, or like fully present or something. Essentially, you can't like be productive and create a YouTube video and be fully present for your kids. It's just not possible. So I would recommend if you can, not multitasking and just committing to one or the other. So for me, on Mondays and Fridays, I will call into those huddles to make sure I have the information. However, I do not feel pressure to be an email or any of that until I drop them off and I start my day. And I actually work later on those 2 days because I wouldn't say I'm starting later because I'm like plugged in, but I don't have as much time sitting in front of the computer earlier. So I make up for that. I make sure I get my full 8 hours in. And for me, that works because I can have flexibility in those hours. So if you can do that, I would recommend like fully dedicating yourself to your kids, getting what you need. If you miss that huddle one day, oops, okay, fine, whatever, you'll figure that out. And then be fully committed when you're working. The other thing I would say is transitions in terms of like start and end time. So when I'm doing the kid drop off, I don't really like get myself ready until I'm home. So I often show up like in Crocs, like my new Crocs. If you watch my Insta stories or seen, I'm pretty sure I shared them just on Instagram. I got Crocs. I've been a Croc admirer, closet Croc admirer for a long time. Finally got them. Showed up to daycare in that, dropped off the kids in that. And then when I get home, I like change and I'm like professional. And it, honestly, being pregnant, I'll have like a nice top on and just maternity pants on the bottom. So, you know, I don't have to get fully dressed unless I'm going into the office, in which I'll put like real pants on. So, changing your appearance can help. Also, if I'm coming home from the office, I'm dressed up, I will stop at home first if I have time. I don't always have time, but if I do, I will change into like my mom outfit, which is like a hoodie. And then put my hair in a messy bun or a clip and then pick my kids up. So like physically being like, okay, I'm in work mode, I'm professional mode, and now I'm in mom mode really helps me transition. But then just letting people know, communicating your boundaries around when is family time and when is work time. So if you don't want people to email you after work, don't be in your email. If you don't want people to call you after work, don't answer the phone after work. It's really easy to feel like you need to have an open door policy at all times when you become a leader. But actually what you need to realize is by allowing those behaviors to happen to show like you are fully available, by answering the phone, by perpetuating and allowing those behaviors, you're essentially saying like, it's okay. And you don't have boundaries. Another thing you can do instead of just straight up ignoring people is if they call you, say, you know, is this urgent? Can I wait till tomorrow? And they have to really reflect on that. And if they say no, you can say, okay, is this an emergency? And if they're like, no, it's not an emergency, say, oh, okay, well, tell me more. And then you can explain to them why this can wait till tomorrow, right? So you have to sometimes teach people what your boundaries are and share and kind of teach them what is the level of importance of getting a hold of you after hours. So yeah, practice what you preach. If you don't want people expecting an email response from you at 7 p.m., don't respond to them at 7 p.m. So maybe this takes practice. It gets easier over time when you cut through all the bullshit. I also want to say about boundaries, boundaries can be, can change. So you can set up a very rigid boundary. If someone keeps pushing against that boundary, you can decide, maybe I want to make it more flexible and maybe it's temporarily changing. So I've shared this before on the podcast, but when we've had really big computer go lives and things like that, I've made myself way more available pretty much 24/7 during those go lives. I would never do that just as a normal standard. But I communicated that right now in this post go live phase when we have troubles, I'm available. Please call me. In fact, I would like to know about these issues in real time. And then when we're at a point where we're doing well, I'll tell people, okay, so things are going well. I'm no longer available at all hours. Of course, for emergencies, please contact me. Otherwise, I will be looking into incidents and things like that the next day, right? So it's a matter of communicating, changing, trying something out. If it feels uncomfortable for you, you can always change it. Just know that if you keep bumping up against a boundary with someone, maybe they don't know what that boundary is and you need to articulate it for them. Everybody has a different capacity for what they're cool with. You know, I don't mind getting a text message here and there, but it's not the best way to reach me for work, especially without getting cell service in all the offices I'm at. So Teams would be preferred. So I tell my people when I onboard new leaders and stuff, I'm most available on Teams. I'll get that anywhere. I may or may not have cell service to get a text, right? So just kind of learning these things about yourself, making notes. And when you notice that you feel like, let's say, triggered or frustrated, notice that and then ask yourself, why do I feel that way? And then start to break that down and be like, oh, here's what I'm uncomfortable with. Or here's the power play dynamic that's going on that I wasn't aware of. Or here's why I don't appreciate that. And then think, is that a me issue that I need to work through? Or is that a real thing that I need to articulate to a person to say, like, I'm uncomfortable with this. This is what I prefer as my boundary. You can make boundaries and boundary setting super complex if you want to, but you can also use the simple method, which is like, try something and change it when it feels like it needs changing. And just take notice. Am I getting more energy from this boundary or is it causing me more stress? And if you're more stressed about it, chances are it's not the right boundary quite yet. So I hope that helps. If you want me to do a whole episode on boundaries, please let me know. Send me an email at kayla@kfaconsulting.org or DM me on Instagram at kfaconsulting. I could probably do a whole episode on boundaries. It's very structured. Okay, here is our third and final real tip. There's the fourth tip of following your plan. I'm going to give you tips for that. But the third one is looking at a real calendar, whether it's like your Google Calendar or paper one. And the plan, the reason I want you to look at a real one is because I want you to see like the weeks with the dates in them. And I want you to know which days are weekends. And I want you to physically see like there are 3 weeks until Christmas, etc. So I want you to be able to see that. And I want you to think of things you already have planned, right? So my hubby wanted to do like Disney on Ice for the kids, which was cool. That was a last minute addition to this weekend. I'm excited about it. I'm like, oh, I wanted to do that for so long and I never thought about it. So that's happening. My daughter turned in like so many reading minutes. So she got a prize to go to Color Me Mine. So she asked me the other day, like, Mama, when are we going to go to Color Me Mine? I was like, oh, I totally forgot about that. Let me just like quick make a reservation. So I scheduled that. So that is on our list. But then other things like things that we do all the time. My husband's training for a triathlon. He's been doing that the last like 2 years. I'm super proud of him. He's training for a longer distance one in September for next year. And so like he's very regimented. Every Saturday morning he goes for swims and runs. I get my Kayla time to run this business and all of that on Sundays. So I penciled those time blocks in so we know like this is when we're going to be doing those two things. And those are sort of like, I wouldn't say non-negotiable, but they're things that we want to make sure that we prioritize. So we get our own self, our own me time, and it's not just kid time, family time, all the time. We all need to be our own selves, right? And then, of course, like anything that my kids have on the docket for like routine, like days of the week, like my daughter has dance class Mondays and so does my son. And actually, there is a Christmas dance coming up in a couple weeks. And they said, invite any family members you want. And it's like, oh yeah, I probably need to tell grandma about that so that she's like available. Otherwise, it's going to be too close. And she's going to say, well, I needed more time to know that. So I think things come up so quick. And if we don't take a look at the calendar, all of a sudden we're like, oh, I forgot, or I really wanted to do this, or, you know, I'm still like, I haven't budgeted for this or that, or I'm still Christmas shopping. So just take 30 minutes or even 15 minutes, sit down with your partner or sit down yourself, fill it out, then talk to your partner and say, hey, like, here's what I think we have going on. What else? What else are we forgetting? And then think about like, okay, what else do we want to add? And the most important thing here, I think, is deciding, are these the only things we're going to agree to? And then the rest is just open to enjoy. It's kind of like a vacation where you got like 5 days of vacation and you're planning like a thing every single day. I honestly love vacations where it's like you have an activity one day and a big trip and the next day is like a chill day, right? Like it's open. It's like if I feel like sleeping in, I can sleep in. If I feel like going shopping, I can go shopping. If I feel like going on a day trip, I can go on a day trip, right? Like overscheduling yourself, I think, is why this season feels like so much pressure. So let's intentionally not do that and say, okay, so like this is it. And this is kind of, these are the things that we're excited for, that we're looking forward to, that are going to be fun. And like, let's go all in on those things, right? Let's enjoy those things. Everything else is just like, no, that's okay. This year, these are the things that matter to us. And write them down and then make sure like everybody in your family knows this, right? Like, hey fam, we're not going to the cabin this month because we're staying home and enjoying our home and we're going to do these cool activities. Awesome? Awesome. Make sure everybody's on the same page. That way, when you get a request, right, you can vet it with the fam. You can say, okay, so I know we agreed, right, that like this was everything we were going to do. This other opportunity came up. Should we say no to it? And I recommend you do. But if you decide you don't want to say no to it, then you've made that decision together and you're like, okay, cool. That's fine. We can adjust. We have room. We'd like to say yes. Like the Disney on Ice thing, that's not something we had planned for this coming weekend. My husband asked me about it and I was like, you know what? We're not traveling this month. I think we can do it. Let's do it. It'll be fun. So that's just one example of how you can just be flexible with your month without adding additional stress. Now, if I had a holiday party on that day already, I probably would have said, okay, I've got to choose. Should we do Disney on Ice or the holiday party? What have I already committed to? And then I'm just not going to be like, yeah, I'm going to do 5 things that day. I'm just going to do one thing. I don't want to overbook myself. So that is tip number 3. Look at a physical calendar. Write down all your things you've already committed to. and decide what else you're going to add and then what you're intentionally not going to add, and leave some space to breathe. Okay, last tip, number four, is follow the plan and say no to everything else. So easier said than done, because I know that the holidays feel, and the end of the year just feels like a lot of pressure. It's like, you don't want to miss out, right? You want to enjoy, you want to do things. So like I kind of mentioned this in tip number three, but sit down with your partner, your family, your kids, if they're old enough, get their feedback on that plan and then agree to stick to it. Or if an opportunity comes, say, let's bring it to the group and decide. Vet opportunities and ideas as they come, right? Like that is the biggest, I think, filter you can use, is like that family filter. If you notice you have a need for a routine during this time, like, oh, I really need to stay on top of, let's say, laundry or something, because it's like really messing with my ability to focus on whatever, just do it. Tell yourself, okay, I'm going to make a commitment to work on this habit for the next 7 days. And I'm going to set a timer and I'm just going to commit to that routine, whatever that is. Future self will thank you for it. Don't identify that you have a need for something and then not do it, and then be like stressing that you wish you had done it. If that makes sense. Sorry, I feel like that's a lot of like negative words, but just pull the trigger on the things that you know are going to make your life easy right now, instead of resisting those and feeling like you have to plan and do those perfectly. And then again, asking that question, how can I automate this? Is there a tool for this that can make my life easier, quicker, faster, more efficient, like grocery pickup, like an excellent mop? Like, what are items that would just make things feel amazingly easy? The mop totally was an eye-opener for me, because I used to wash like by hands and knees, like with a rag out of a bucket for the longest time. Then I used a Swiffer and it wasn't working. I didn't realize like the hype around these amazing mop vacuum things. Like, I just thought, okay, that person's kind of lazy. And now I'm like, no, this tool will help your home last longer and be cleaner and give you more like mental health. Like, just do that. All right. So for this episode of Leadership Lately, I am going to be talking about the Leader Standard Workbook. Since it's a new segment and I don't have like an article to review, I thought I'd share something that's new for me. So I have made the Leader Standard Workbook, or this method, a formal notebook since 2021, I think was my first version. So I had like Leader Standard Work Template, then I had a whole workbook digital. And then last year I did a physical workbook, using like disc bound. This year I had it professionally spiral printed. So if you're watching on YouTube, I have a couple videos of, a flip through of this and then explaining my whole entire method for productivity for using the Leader Standard Workbook. If you're on the podcast and just listening, no prob. I have everything linked in the blog post associated with this episode, but I'm super pumped. Through December 10th, we have pre-order sale going on. And then after that, it will go to normal price. I will be placing a pre-order order this coming weekend, probably on the 10th, so that things are ready to ship by early the next week. So if you want to snag this at the sale price, I think this episode should be out before that. So check it out. But yeah, I have a flip through on my website. You can check it out. It's got a typical monthly plan, typical weekly plan, to kind of do what we talked about in this episode, which is look at a calendar and be like, what normally happens? What are some recurring items that happen throughout this month or week that we have to plan for at work and life? And then it has three monthly sections, so three monthly calendars where you can fill out like the actual things that are going to happen. You can include things like birthdays and if you're out of town and all of that. So you can really merge your work and home life to the extent that you want to in here. I do not keep my work and home plans together besides like obligations I have immediately around work, right? So if I need to pick my kids up at 4 o'clock and I know I have a hard stop, I will put that here so I'm not working on like Mondays and then it's like 4:30. I'm like, oh crap, I forgot to pick up my kids. Like, no, I need to know that. So that's kind of stuff what I include in here. It's got weekly Leader Standard Work pages. It has a weekly spread with individual days so you can plan out time blocks for morning, mid midday, afternoon, daily intention, leave happy tasks, which is how I manage my to-do list, as well as to thank or recognize, so you can make sure that you show gratitude for your coworkers. One of my favorite things in this notebook is the I Love Lists page. You can see I already spilled coffee on this. But that's where I compile to-dos from email, from meetings, all that stuff. And then I move them over to leave happy tasks by prioritizing them in the day that makes sense. There's 5 note pages per week. So one for each day of the work week, as well as a yearly roadmap. So you can map out your projects that happen throughout the year. So you can level load your year, high level, know what's going on. So this is the new version for 2024. It's 3-month planner, our Leader Standard Workbook. I'm available at the pre-order price. I'm super happy with the quality. It's got a vinyl black cover, a clear front cover to protect it. It's printed on premium printer paper. And I cannot wait to keep sharing about this. I'll be sharing how to use this on my Instagram. So make sure you're following me over there. And I'll be creating some short form videos showing like how to fill it out and how each page is helpful. So that is Leadership Lately. Go ahead and check it out. Make sure you snag your copy as soon as possible so you can kick it off. And it's undated. So you can start this anytime. So do not delay. You do not have to wait till January 1st to start like thinking about January. In fact, right now is a perfect time to think about next year, right? Like we talked about, what do we need to get done this year? Absolutely would add value and make lives easier. And then what can wait until the first of the year? All right, so today I hope those tips were super helpful for you. We talked about decluttering your to-do list and your mind, decluttering your home, essentially making room for more stuff, and then looking at a physical calendar and planning out the next 3 weeks. And then 4 was following your plan and saying no to everything else, or at least discerning opportunities as they come in alignment with your family and the goals you have set for the next 3 weeks to reduce your stress levels, to stay organized throughout the holidays and at the end of the year. So if you listen to the end of this episode, like, thank you so much for being here. Like I said, this is the first one back with a newish format. It's going to be a little bit more edited, but still really casual, really Kayla. And I'm just going to be learning and trying to get the hang of this. And again, you can pop over to Instagram or send me an email and let me know, like, what day of the week works best. Is Friday going to work for y'all? Or is it going to be Mondays? I want to make it so that it works for you, so you can listen in the shower, going for a walk, make it part of your routine. So thank you so much for being here, and I will see you in the next episode. Take care. Bye. Thanks for being here for another episode of Leadership Unveiled. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment or a review. See you next time.